Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Robert Hannon. A Fairbanks man is dead in a suspected homicide. Fairbanks police report the 47-year-old Carlos Alberto Zuniga was found dead at a Bunnell Street address about 11:30 last night. Police spokeswoman Yumi McCullough says no cause of death is being released at this time, but that officers responded to the area after receiving a call about shots fired. The case is the third unsolved homicide in the city since early last month. Jose Alfonso Cifuentes Morales was found shot to death on April 4th on the road in an area of 3rd Avenue and Hall Street. Carlos Lamar Battle was found dead in a stairwell in the Alaska Motor Inn April 16th. No cause of death has been released in that case. McCullough says there's no known connection between the three killings. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has heard from dozens of residents in support of increased funding for local schools. Meeting last night, the Assembly took public testimony on a proposed budget that scales back school district funding $3 million from last year's levels. Fairbanks parent Jim Scheidler urged at least flat funding, saying students can't wait for finances to recover.
When we underfund our children's education, it's the equivalent of building a building with an inadequate foundation and continuing that inadequacy on up as the building is built. Children don't recover at seventh grade by a vast influx of money because perhaps the price of oil has zoomed or something has changed.
The proposed decrease in borough support for schools is due to rising costs, slow economic growth, and a voter-imposed cap on property taxes. The state of Alaska is also considering reducing support for schools, and the district is looking at a range of program cuts, including to music, arts, and sports programs. Both the borough and school district have savings accounts, and there was discussion last night about who should cover the shortfall. Borough Mayor Carl Castle said the borough is the last line of defense after schools spend their savings.
The borough has to backstop and have the fund balance available to backstop any shortfalls from the school district. That's how it rolls. It doesn't roll the other way.
School Board Vice President Mike O'Brien shared a possible budget scenario under which the school district could exhaust its entire $15 million reserve fund balance in the coming year. The Assembly adjourned after public testimony. The panel will resume budget considerations at its May 18th meeting. Education funding cuts are also triggering a march planned for Sunday in Fairbanks. One of the organizers is retired schoolteacher Nikki Eisman. She says the Save Our Schools event begins at Groudon Park.
For about a 20-minute rally with speakers, including Chancellor Thomas and Representative Guttenberg, then we'll march down Wilbur Street to Airport Way.
Eisman says proposed cuts from Juneau to K-12 schools in the university is deeply concerning. The rally is scheduled to begin at 1 p.m. The University of Alaska Fairbanks holds its 95th commencement tomorrow. The university says over 1,300 students will receive a range of degrees, certificates, endorsements, and licenses during the afternoon ceremony at the Carlson Center. A total of 746 women and 623 men are graduating. The group includes 212 Alaska Native students. The average graduate age is 29. A Republican bill to replace the Affordable Care Act squeaked through the U.S. House yesterday with help from Congressman Don Young. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin asked Young why he voted for the health care bill after denouncing a prior version as bad for Alaska.
Shame! Protesters on the Capitol grounds scolded lawmakers as they left the building. Young says the vote was just one step toward the Republican goal of repealing the Obama health care law.
Oh, this bill we pass today will not become law. It'll be changed as time goes by. But unless we move it or move a vehicle, nothing's going to happen, and that's not good.
Under the House bill, Alaskans would lose the generous subsidies available now to help them buy plans on the individual market. Instead, they'd get tax credits that don't vary by location. Young said in March that would be bad for Alaska. Now, he says there are more funds in the bill for high-cost states, and he says House Speaker Paul Ryan and others promised him Alaska will get more help.
I know we have the money, about $19 billion that can be dispersed. I've talked to the Secretary, Dr. Price, and he assures me that we will be made whole if it was to become law.
And Young told reporters his vote for the Speaker's big priority bill makes him more effective on other matters.
You have to have the assurance and the backing of the leadership or your bills don't move. And Alaska has a lot of things on the plate. And I think we're in a better position to get legislation done for Alaska after the vote today than I would have before. You can't figure that out. Shame on you. All right, James.
The bill goes next to the Senate. Governor Bill Walker issued a statement after the House vote saying Alaska would be the state most harmed if the bill is signed into law. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski expects a separate health care bill to come out of the Senate. Speaking during a press briefing following yesterday's U.S. House passage of a bill to replace the Affordable Care Act, Senator Murkowski suggested major changes could be in store on the Senate side.
How much we actually take from the House bill remains to be seen.
Murkowski also identified parts of the Affordable Care Act she says need to be preserved.
The coverage for pre-existing conditions, ensuring that those under 26 can maintain coverage. Medicaid expansion. Alaska is one of those states that has seen the benefit. 30,000 Alaskans. I want to make sure that we're not pulling the rug out from under those who are seeing coverage for perhaps the very first time.
Murkowski says the near-term focus should be on stabilizing the market by addressing uncertainty about government subsidies for insurers, noting that Alaska has only one carrier in Premera. A wildfire charred 25 acres in Delta Junction yesterday. The Alaska Division of Forestry reports that state and local firefighters corralled the blaze, which raced through dry grass in breezy conditions Thursday afternoon. The origins of the fire was a three-week-old burn pile. Delta Area Fire Prevention Officer Gabe Peace Medore says the property owner was on the site and tried to suppress the flames. He says the fire got away despite previously burned ground surrounding the pile. Smoke from the fire forced closure of Nistler Road for about half an hour. A fire crew out of Fairbanks arrived on the scene later in the afternoon to mop up and search for hot spots. And troopers are investigating a stabbing in Eagle Village. Alaska State Troopers report 67-year-old Rolf Smith stabbed 37-year-old Andrew Childers multiple times Tuesday. Troopers say the attack occurred after Smith found Childers with Smith's adult daughter. Troopers have no information on Childers' conditions, but say a villager took the victim to a local clinic. Smith is charged with several counts of second-degree assault. I'm Robert Hannon.